All right. So what's Hakadosh Baruch Hu? What does the Taka mean that Hakadosh Baruch Hu? What is it that Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the sun and the moon? So I saw something, an amazing avart, an amazing, amazing idea about the sun and the moon. Most of this world.
You muted yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I saw an amazing avart. What it means that Hakadosh Baruch Hu was. Can you hear me? Laser, at least, can you hear me? Or is it going in and out?
Yeah.
It's good? Okay.
Yes,
so I saw a very interesting about what it means, the sun. In this world, if you notice, most of this world is Baal Tashchis. There is so much potential in this world. In so many dimensions, there are so many people that have so much potential, and basically 99.99% of the potential in this world is wasted. There are people that have potential, there is resources in this world, there is just enormous things in this world that can be utilized for good. And chaval, it goes to waste. Incredible, incredible waste in this world, beyond belief. And that is alluded to in the sun and the moon. In other words, like this. The sun gives off light. Right? The moon, the way that we have it today, the moon does not give off its own light. The moon reflects. The moon is the mekabel. It receives the light, the rays of the sun. It doesn't give, it receives. Now, when the sun shines, how much of the light of the sun is the moon able to reflect? A teeny, teeny fraction. The sun gives off enormous, enormous rays. And most of those rays just go. They go on and on and on into who knows where they go. The moon is very small. It's teeny. So the moon is only able to reflect, because the moon is so small, a teeny amount of light. So this is what it says. I saw this in Rabbi Aaron Raps' Sefer in the Hakdama. He wrote a Sefer on Chanukah. He was my Rebbe in Chaim Berlin in 8th grade. He wrote a Sefer on Chanukah a couple of years ago. And he writes this in the introduction. I don't know where he gets this from. I'm assuming he's not saying this on his own. He's saying this from somebody, maybe not. But he says that originally when Hashem created the world, it doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem made it that the moon has its own source of light. What it means is the moon was massive, 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 where it was able to accept all of the rays of the sun. The sun gives out enormous energy. Where does it go? So the moon was so big and so encompassing that the moon reflected every single mashahu of power, of koyach, that the sun gave forth. The moon is the makabel. See, the pashat is everyone says that it means is that when Hashem made the world, there was shnei ma'oris hagadolim. The sun, as it is today, has its own source of light, and the moon has its own source, and the moon also had its own source of light. There were two luminaries that gave off its own light. So what happened? The moon complained. Ein shnei melachim b'shamshim b'keser echad. So Hashem said to the moon, so the moon complained. Okay, so Hashem took away from the moon its ability to give forth its own light. And instead, the moon is nothing more than a reflector. That's what the world says. That's what's very common you'll hear out here in the street. But it's not necessarily correct. Or there is ayin part of the Torah. And the other mahalach is that the moon never ever had its own source of light. Never. The moon was always nothing more than a reflector, a recipient of the light of the sun. However, the difference was that at the time of Maaseh Bereishis, the moon received every single drop of light that was given forth by the sun. It was so large, it received everything. Rabbi Leza, are you able to hear me? Because the computer looks like it's going in and out. It's good, it's good, okay, it's good, fine, good. Okay, good. So the moon...
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. I'm going to turn off the video to save the bandwidth, because the computer is very weak, so I'm just going to try to save it a little bit. I'm going to turn off the video. If you don't hear me at any point, just holler. Okay. So the moon The moon received every drop of energy. It was massively large. So the moon said to Hashem, you know, I'm doing my job and the sun is doing its job. The sun is giving off and I'm receiving. So even though I'm a receiver and the moon is a giver, what's the difference? We are both utilizing our full potential. So Hashem says, you're right. If the sun is giving off a lot and the moon is receiving a lot, everything, so it's like Shnei Melachim, Mesham Shem Bekeser Echad. So what Hashem did was, Hashem diminished the size of the moon, where now the moon is not capable of receiving all of the light of the sun. You know, notice like you go to a yeshiva, you hear these certain stories, you have a Talmud, a prodigy, who goes to a Rebbe, and the Rebbe teaches this child for a year or two, whatever it is, and then the Rebbe says to the child, you know, I've taught you everything that I know. There's nothing more for you to gain by learning by me. I've given over to you everything. And you have so much more potential to grow. You have to go to another Rebbe who can give you more. Because I'm done. I'm dry. I gave over to you everything that I know. You need to go higher and go to another Rebbe that will teach you. That will teach you new things. So that's the way it was. I mean, originally the moon was able to receive everything from the sun, but then the moon complained. So what resulted? The result was Hashem made the moon smaller. And now the moon cannot possibly receive everything that the Rebbe can give. The sun is the Rebbe, the moon is the Talmud, and the Rebbe has so much more to give than what the Talmud is capable of receiving. So in other words, what happens? There's a waste. There's just waste. The sun is giving off an infinite amount of energy. And where is it all going? Nowhere. The moon is only able to receive and reflect a teeny, teeny fraction of what the sun has to offer. The sun and the moon is a relationship of a Rebbe and a Talmud, a giver and a receiver. Originally, when Hashem created this world, the student was capable of receiving every single thing that the Rebbe had to offer. The Rebbe is a giver, the Talmud is a taker, and the Talmud has big pockets. The Talmud is capable of taking everything that the Rebbe wants to give. When the moon complained, and the moon said, basically, listen, if I can accept everything that my Rebbe has to give, so I'm really just as great as the Rebbe. Because the Rebbe is the giver, I'm the receiver. No, at the end of the day, I will receive everything from the Rebbe. So why is the sun so much greater? When will it come my turn to be the Rebbe? And to that Hashem said, you're right, we have to make an adjustment. And the adjustment is that the Rebbe has so much more to give than you'll ever be capable of receiving. That's right, the Rebbe has more to give. That created in this world a dynamic of waste, of mamish waste, where the reality of this world is there is so much potential that is out there and it's never achieved. That's all a dogma of Hashem being memayet the areach. The areach was the receiver, which in essence captures the ability to exploit all the potential, and that ability to exploit the potential of this world has been severely diminished. All right, that's a side idea. I don't know if it's really relevant to the point we would make over here. Now let's go back to the Nusach HaTfilah. The Nusach HaTfilah we say in davening is Roshei Chodoshim Li'am Chodostad. So he has a whole long shtickle here, Rabbi Ashkenazi, about why does it say in the Musaf Roshei Chodoshim B'Lishoin Rabim. The Nusach HaTfilah should begin Rosh Chodesh La'am Chodostad. Why is it written B'Lishoin Rabim? When it comes to Shabbos, what do we say? We say Vayichal Elokim Yom HaShvi. We say the Nusach Shabbos is Tikanto Shabbos Rotziso Korban Oseach. We don't say on Shabbos Tikanto Shabbos Sois. We say Tikanta Shabbos, only one Shabbos. So why then do we say on Rosh Chodesh Roshei Chodoshim? Even though there are 12 Roshei Chodoshim, but listen, there's also 52 Shabbosos. And we don't say Tikanta Shabbosos. We don't say Tikanta Shabbos, Rotzisa Karbonoseha. We say Tikanta Shabbos. So let's say Rosh Chodesh.
You need the answer to that. As soon as the Shabbos was created, it was Shabbos. But Rosh Chodesh is not until after 30 days pass.
I don't understand. Every 7 days is Shabbos.
Right. So once Shabbos was created, Shabbos is created, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shabbos is Shabbos, right?
Correct, yes.
Hold on just a second. The celery? You took the eggplant?
Yes, I did, yes.
Okay.
I'm going to take the eggplant.
Okay, fine. Whatever you... Okay, thank you so much. Here's some challahs if you need.
What is it?
Challah if you need.
Oh, thank you so much.
Take the whole, whatever's left here.
Yeah, all right, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Rabbi Fryan?
No more potato chips, man. What happened to the potato chips?
I may have some left. I'll maybe bring tomorrow. Okay.
Don't bring yet.
Once you have a Shabbos, every 7 day is a Shabbos. It's a repeat of the archetypical Shabbos.
And not Rosh Chodesh.
No, Rosh Chodesh. You need 30 days to be a Chodesh.
So, but it's the same principle.
It may be the same principle, but. Where was the first day Hashem created? Was that Rosh Chodesh? It wasn't.
The first day of creation was the 23rd day. Was the 23rd day the 25th day of Elul? Was
so
the first day of creation?
Really middle of a Chodesh. When it hit 30, it became Rosh Chodesh.
But it
doesn't become Rosh Chodesh
until the sixth day. Yom Hashishi was Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah, but you don't have another Chodesh until it depends 29, 28.
Okay, but the concept of Rosh Chodesh is not...
Okay.
It's a kash. Okay, you could say a lot of answers. Okay, a lot of answers. So you know what the most balabatish answer is? This is like really so balabatish, is beyond balabatish. But he says this is, as just a warm-up, is that, well, there are many Chodoshim when there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh. There are 2 days Rosh Chodesh. It's a Suffolk. There's a Suffolk. Half of the months of the year, we have 2 days Rosh Chodesh. So in order to allude to the fact of we don't know when the Mekadesh Levon, even look Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, it was a standard procedure. If the witnesses don't come, Bizman Hazeh, even in Eretz Yisrael, there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh, 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Okay, Rosh Hashanah is like basically Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodeshim alludes to the fact that don't make a mistake and think that there's only one day Rosh Chodesh. Because Rosh Chodesh, sometimes it's very hard to determine when is Rosh Chodesh. We don't know Sveikah D'Yoma, we don't know exactly, we don't know when the Mekadesh Levana. So it turns out that many times we have no choice but to observe 2 days Rosh Chodesh. So that's why we allude to that and we say to Rosh Chodeshim. All right, that's an answer. I don't really like that answer, but okay, another answer he gives, so this is Rabbi Ashkenazi, this is more Hasidus. The answer that he provides is that there are two dinim in Rosh Chodesh. I mean, you have to have a stomach for this answer. This is not the typical type of answer, but he is very comfortable. This is again an answer that you have to be holding in the world of Hasidus to appreciate this answer. Is that there are tzvei dinim in Rosh Chodesh. There's what are the korbanos all about in Rosh Chodesh? You bring korbanos. You bring a set of korbanos, and the main korban really is the so'ir lechatos. What's the purpose of that korban? To be mechaper al tumas mikdash v'kodoshav. Just in case a person went into the Beis HaMikdash and he was tameh and did not realize he was tameh, the so'ir of Rosh Chodesh brings atonement. It atones for entering into the Beis HaMikdash while one is tameh, or eating kodoshim in the Beis HaMikdash that were tameh you were not aware of. Either you were tameh and you were not aware of it, or the meat that you have consumed was tameh and you were not aware of it. So the so'ir comes to bring atonement for that very severe aveir. And then there's another reason why you bring a carbon sa'ir, to atone for Hashem. Hashem is asking us to bring for him a carbon chatas. What does that mean? I have no idea. And I don't think there's anyone that knows what this means. But this is a principle that is in the Gemara, that Hashem says, I was memayit the areach. I gave you a little bit of mahalich in that, in from my raps. I think it's the most fascinating mahalich I've ever seen in this sugya, this concept, what he says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem created waste. Not waste, that's not the correct term. Hashem created the reality of the loss of potential. In this world, there's so much potential, and look where it goes. Look, Reb Lezer, Meir could have been a big Rosh Shiva. He could have been a Grois Rebbe. And look,
He is.
But he could have been much greater. He could have had an audience over, you know, the whole world. And instead, what is he doing? He's giving out gefilte fish on East 27th Street. Okay, I'm not saying it's not a good thing. I'm not saying, you know, when he gives out the gefilte, he's mamish boyer olamos, misu shelach.
What do you mean? Blaze is right. I am a big Rosh Yeshiva. I reflect 100% of what you teach. Hello?
Yeah, I hear what you said. I'm laughing my head off.
You don't know what
I'm laughing my head off. That's why my video is muted, because I don't want you to see how hard I'm laughing. Okay.
I'll send a copy to your sister.
That's not going to help me. That's for sure not. Boy, I'm going to get a Misha Berach tonight when I come home. I should get a Misha Berach. Anyway, but any event, Hashem, it's an incredible idea, my Rav says. Hashem basically created in this world, he allowed for the loss of potential. And for that, Hashem says, bring for me on Rosh Chodesh a Karbon Chatas. That is a complete...
Wow, you know what you just said?
What I say?
And that's why Chava got punished with this, you know. And that's why women have Rosh Chodesh, because it's all the same cycle, you know.
A woman was born with 400 eggs.
Everything. She has the vest and everything. Is a rebirth of potential.
I read in a science book that the average woman born into this world comes with 400 eggs.
Right.
Which means a woman could have theoretically 400 children. Theoretically.
Right.
400 children.
Right.
Okay? And what does the average woman have? I don't know what the average is. In America...
Even if she has 15, yeah, because okay. She doesn't... Right.
Exactly, okay? So look at the loss of potential. Okay, look at a male. How many in the sperm? What are there? Billions? I don't know how many?
Let's say 100,000.
In each tipa.
Right, has 100,000.
Okay, so look at the loss of potential. Okay, each tipa, a man can theoretically impregnate 100,000 women.
Right.
Okay, you'll solve the sort of crisis.
One woman, but the problem is that it takes the woman 9 months to carry. So once she's impregnated...
So every man needs 100,000 wives. So just for one tipa. That's for one tipa. Okay, whatever it is. The point is, Hashem, by Hashem being the mighty areach, Hashem prevented, he created a reality in this world that the noisem has so much more to give than the mekabel is able to receive. That is a dogma for everything that goes on in this world, the loss of potential. You see, this world is so messed up. Think about this in current events. In current events, the world is literally, they're obsessed with global warming and climate change, net zero, where they're so afraid that the noisein doesn't have enough for us. The population is too big, 8 billion people. So these people, they want to reduce the population to 2 billion. This is not conspiracy theories. I'm telling you, this. Go listen. They say this, bepe mole. 8 billion people, the world cannot provide for 8 billion people. The world can provide the most for 2 billion people. L'chatchila for 500 million. Halavai, we can get the population down to a small... They say this Mepemali. And we have to preserve water and preserve this and preserve that and preserve that because the world cannot give. It does not have enough to give. You learn from the Torah. Now, I'm not saying, you know, obviously, you know, there are problems in this world, okay? There are people that are starving to death. There's starvation and there are a lot of problems and there's the issues of pollution. I'm not coming to deny all these things. But you learn in Maase Bereishis, there's the Shemesh. The Shemesh is the Noisein. The Yireach was the Mekabel. The Mekabel was able to receive everything from the Noisein. And then Hashem was Memay the Yireach. And then the Noisein has so much more to offer. And no one is out there to be Mekabel. All the rays of light, it goes to nowhere. It goes to waste. It just goes out. It goes on. Where does it go? It goes on. It's all wasted. It's not reflected. It's not utilized. That's a dogma for the ganze bria. And Hashem says, this is a problem. And for this, I need kapara. And I want you to bring a carbon chatas. So that element is an agadic element. It's a midrashic element. It's not the pshat. And it's one dimension of Rosh Chodesh. The other dimension of Rosh Chodesh is the olam hanigle. What it says in the Torah is you bring a carbon chatas to atone for the sins of eating holy things while a person is contaminated, or a person who is holy eats holy things that have become contaminated and no one knows about it. So Rabbi Ashkenazi, he develops this barichos and he says that's why it's b'loshen rabim. Rosh Chodoshim is because there are two major elements. Again, this is a typical chassidish mahalich. Not chassidish mahalich in a bad sense, it's a certain derech of there are two Rosh Chodesh, every day of Rosh Chodesh, there are two dimensions. There's the dimension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring for me a carbon to atone for my sin. And there's another dimension of bring for yourself a carbon to atone for your sins. So we call every Rosh Chodesh, we call it B'lashon Rabim to allude to the multi-dimensional element in the Rosh Chodesh. All right, I personally, I don't like this. This is a certain mahalach, which I don't buy svarim for this mahalach. But, okay, I accept it. But he alludes to something else. He doesn't mamish say it. Maybe he does. I read it very quickly. He says something which to me, I think he's alluding to this. Maybe he actually said it. And he says an incredible idea. Shabbos, there's only one Shabbos. There's only one Shabbos. Now let's go to the Moadim. Let's discuss the Moadim. What do we say? We say Moadim L'Simcha B'Lashon Rabim. We don't say Moed L'Simcha. We say Moadim L'Simcha. Why? Well, it's very simple. Pesach is not Sukkis, and Sukkis is not Shavuos. Each one of the Moadim is unique, totally unique. It's a unique type of Moed. Pesach Zman Zeich L'Yitzias Mitzrayim, Sukkis is Zman Simchaseinu, Shavuos is Zman Matan Tereseinu. So this is what he says. I think this is what he's saying. It's a tremendous, tremendous Chiddush. Each Rosh Chodesh is different. It's a different Rosh Chodesh. The flavor of each Rosh Chodesh is completely different. The Rosh Chodesh captures within it the Moed of that month. Okay, the Moed, the Rosh Chodesh of Kislev, it's a Chanukah Rosh Chodesh. The Rosh Chodesh of Adar is a Purim Rosh Chodesh. The Rosh Chodesh of Sivan is a Shavuos Rosh Chodesh. It's a different Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos, no. Shabbos is the Zelba Shabbos. There's only one Shabbos. It's all the same. Shabbos, you go to Shabbos the whole year 52 times. There is absolutely no different flavor. It comes only in one flavor, Shabbos. The Rosh Chodeshim.
One more Shabbos and we'll all be free.
It's the same Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh comes in 12 flavors. Just like on the Moadim, you don't say Moed L'Simcha because the Moadim are unique. Shemini Atzeres is not Sukkos. Pesach is not Shavuos. It has a different function. So too, even though it may seem to us that Rosh Chodesh is all the same because you bring exactly the same carbon, there's no difference what you bring on Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh is the same. And the laws of Rosh Chodesh are the same. There's no difference. You're allowed to do Malacha. There's no difference. There's no unique mitzvah. But don't be fooled. The nature of Rosh Chodesh is something which relates to the Moadim, because through the Rosh Chodeshim we calculate the Moadim, and that forces us to understand that when you daven on Rosh Chodesh, you come to a Rosh Chodesh, it's not like Shabbat. Oh, it's a Rosh Chodesh. The donuts that they distribute in Shul have to be a different color for each Rosh Chodesh. Have to be different types of delicacies, because it's the flavor of the day is different. The only remez you have to that is if you daven nusach svard, and in a nusach svard siddur, when it comes to I forgot which part of the davening, you know better than me, you have Hashem's name, and Hashem's the yudke vavke. And you can arrange the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei 12 different ways. And in the Nusach Svart Sidurim, there's a map. There's a chart. And it says, when you come to this part of the Shemoneh Esrei, you should look at the chart, and be Mechavein this order of Hashem's name. What does all that mean? I don't know all this Kabbalistic stuff. This is not for me. This makes me dizzy. There are Psukim, there are Merames, the order of Hashem's name. But at least there, in that prat, you do see something different about each Rosh Chodesh. It's not just the same. On Shabbos, do you ever have something like this? Do you ever have on Shabbos, in the Nusach HaTfilah of Shabbos, where in the Shemoneh Esrei, you should differentiate between Shabbos Parshas Bereishis and Shabbos Parshas Vayetze and Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar? No such thing. The Nusach of Shabbos is the Zelba Nusach again and again and again and again. No such thing. Okay, you have three different Shemoneh Esrei, but it's the same exact thing. There's no difference. Rosh Chodesh, it's the same Nusach, but there is one element where we differentiate between the different months. And, you know, we say those Nusachos of Ulcha Paras Pasha, the whole Nusach there, each one of those words corresponds to one of the Rosh Chodeshim. So we're trying to make each Rosh Chodesh unique. Memela, it's not like Tikanta Shabbos Ritzisa Karban Osecha. We don't say Rosh Chodesh Liamcha Nosata Zman Kapara L'chol Toldesam. We say Rosh Chodeshim, because each Rosh Chodesh is unique. It's not the Zelba Zach. All right, that's our word for today. Thank you for coming and listening, Rabbi Leza Meir. Have a good night. Have a safe trip.
Don't come back unless you bring the donkey.
Oh, you have the chart over here. Blaze has the chart for us. All the different shemas. He's showing us the shemas.
About this, on Atta Yitzharta, why you say it? Because the Chodesh of Hanukkah, you can't say it.
Why can you say Rosh Chodesh of Hanukkah? We discussed that. There's a whole Torah, Atta Yitzharta. Right. That's another old parasha. Ablaze, I see a shakrach for the shemas, the yudkei vavkei. I see that. Yeah, I know. Yudkei, all different orders corresponding to different psukim. All right.
That's an R scroll innovation.
No, it's not. R scroll, I'm not even sure they even have it. That's a regular sitter. Look what he has over there. He has the standard sitter. And that word, what is that? Ashkenaz? What is it? That Ashkenaz? Shocking. Look, Meir. That's an Ashkenaz sitter, you hear, Meir? And it has the Shemois. Art scroll does not have the Shemois in the art scroll in the Ashkenaz. There is no Shemois in Nusach Ashkenaz in the art scroll sitter, not even the Hebrew version. It's only in the Nusach Sfar version. And he showed you.
You don't have Reb Chaim. It doesn't say Reb Chaim. It doesn't say Reb Malkiel. No Shemois.
No Shemois. Someone told me that Reb Chaim said that you're not allowed to it's an Avera to be mitzaref.
It is from Israel, printed in Yerushalayim.
that the standard said he has the most basic seder. Merab, someone told me that Hashanah Rab at night, someone told me, that Rab Chaim says that it's also to be mitzarv to a minion that does Mishnah Torah.
You're
being part of and doing an Avera. Could you believe this? I don't believe you said it. You're now allowed to do a Mishnah Torah. The whole.
Thank you very much.
Okay, have a wonderful trip. Enjoy your vacation. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy.
Thank you.
We're going to miss you very much.
I'm going to miss you.
We might go out of business this next 2 weeks.
When you come back, you have to come to the Shia. Okay.
Okay, Zygism, be well, Zygism, take care. I'm going, May. I gotta check out. All right, May. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Tell me what's with your sister.
Nothing. She's very angry at me. I did something to her. She's very angry at me. I have to be Mafia, sir.
Buy her flowers.
Never.
Why?
I don't buy her flowers.
Buy her flowers.
She hates flowers.
That's why you buy her flowers.
She's not my wife. She's not my girlfriend. My mother told me that my uncle, I had an uncle, his name was Mendel. He never got married. So he went, something with his mother. So his mother asked him for something. So he said to his mother, What do you think? What do you think? You're my girlfriend. My girlfriend? You're my mother. For a mother, you don't do anything. I don't remember. It was a whole nusach what he said. He said, I can do this for you.
That's why he never got married.
He actually did get married. He did get married. Later in life, he did get married. He got married when he was older. He didn't have any children.
All right, buy a flowers.
When is your wife coming back? You sound like you're in a very good mood lately.
I just had to put my shirts in the cleaner.
No one clean your shirts for you?
Yeah, so it cost me $3 a shirt.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Your wife did it for free?
She did it for free, yeah.
You see how much you appreciate your wife?
$33.
All right, I'm going. Zygism.
Buy a flower. Do me a favor. Buy a flower. Blame it on me.
All right, we'll see.
Okay.
Zygism.
Take care.